Hey, Warheads, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and we have got the group back together again for another week. I am here with Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys.
I am here with Carmella. Hello, Carmella.
Hello, boys.
I am here with Chip. Hello, Chip.
Hi, Jonathan.
And I am here with my boy, Chris. What up, Chris?
What up, Jonathan?
Playa! So, we have a...
Let's recap from last week's episode when Carmella and I just came in here and smashed it up.
Yes.
So much so that you're making her ask the questions this week.
It was a Thanksgiving beatdown. You came in like a butterball.
Wow. You saw that little meme, did you, during Thanksgiving time?
I love that. That's like 2 or 3 years old. That's still awesome. Hilarious. Man. So now, around about this time, we're recording this episode the day after Thanksgiving, but it's probably about Christmas time when it's being released here. So it got me to thinking about Christmas and memories and whatnot. And I thought at first that we would talk a little bit about Santa Claus. And so, parents, if you are listening with your kids, this might be a section that you want to skip. Okay, just spoiler alert.
Yes, Jonathan's brother Bob, fast forward about 2 or 3 minutes into the episode, please.
Spoiler alert. I feel no compunction after that. Three of us had at least just general... Something memorable about when we learned... that we learned about when we found out that Santa Claus was not real. Carmella, how is it that you figured it out?
So, at the time, my cousin Graham was living with me, my brother, and my mother. And I noticed that the gifts that said, you know, from Graham also had the same wrapping paper that said, from Santa. So, I was like, wait a minute. Is Graham Santa Claus?
And it all fell into place after that. Huh?
Yeah, I think I was about 6.
Graham wasn't putting a lot of effort in at that point.
It's kind of normal for him.
So now for me, and my brother probably remembers this better than I do. In fact, this might be my brother's story that I've adopted over the ages, okay? But we had, we were in the same room, I think, at that time. And one Christmas night or the next day, the morning, Bob turned to me and said, I think Santa was playing with the toys last night. So what had happened is my father was doing battery checks on everything, and one of them was a Ghostbusters toy proton thrower thing where it would display a ghost on a wall, and you pushed a button, and it would bust the ghost.
I love that one. Right? That was a great toy.
And it had sound effects and stuff. And so I think Bob had, like, snuck down the hall or something or heard the sounds. I'm not sure what it was, but it was very, very quickly after that where the same sounds that happened that night were the ones we were playing with the next day that all fell into place for us. Mark, how about you? You had one that was funny.
I found out when I woke up one Christmas morning and I was getting a bike for Christmas, and it was partially put together, and there was a note from Santa saying that he ran out of time and couldn't finish putting it together.
Oh, wow.
But then I also realized, because I heard my dad coming in late the night before, I knew he'd gone out for a couple of drinks, and I kind of put it together when he woke up real late the next morning that the combination of him coming in late and the bike not getting put together equated that Dad was Santa, and Santa was a little saucy the night before.
Oh, somebody's dipping into the eggnog. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Eggnog is gross.
I've never been able to drink eggnog. I can't even...
Eggnog is gross.
I can't even come close to drinking it.
I love it.
You do?
Oh, absolutely.
And you don't drink alcohol, so you like eggnog for the taste of eggnog.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most people, for the record, like eggnog because they can get drunk.
They put alcohol in that stuff? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. You didn't even know, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Okay, well, Chris, hey, why don't you warm us up on this chilly Christmas morning?
All right, even though we're in sunny Florida, but that is
in November.
Exactly. Okay, guys, this is actually a fairly serious warm it up Chris question. I usually try to go for the funny and stuff like that, but I have the top 10 cities that are more than 50,000 people
by death rate.
Nice. No, nothing like that. According to Kiplinger.com, I have the top 10 most expensive cities in the United States to live in as of 2014.
Okay.
All right. Now, these are cities that have more than 50,000 people. So, in other words, like one of the, like, Silicon Valley, small cities, doesn't have anything to do with it. So it has to have more than 50,000 people. And the way that they figured it out was using the mass living index based upon population, household incomes, and home values that was provided for by the U.S. Census Bureau. I don't know if that'll help you out or not, but I'm looking for the top 10 most expensive cities in the U.S. to live in.
50,000 is still a pretty small number.
Yeah, no, I agree. But Carmela, we're going to start with you first.
Yay, New York City.
Number one with the bullet. New York City is 120% over the U.S. average.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, all right, Uncle Chip, you're next.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, California, number nine on the list, 30.4% over the U.S. average.
Chicago.
Chicago, not on the list.
Oh, this is not going to go well for me.
All right. Mark.
I'm going to go outside the box and go with Alexandria, Virginia.
Alexandria, Virginia is not on the list. All right.
What was your logic there?
Because it's outside of the D.C. area, and it's everything outside of D.C. is very wealthy, so I've got some other things
lined up.
Yeah,
and it really has some really – my dad actually used to live there for about 2 years, and the homes there are ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with New Orleans.
New Orleans is not on the list.
Okay.
Uncle Chip, you see if you can break the
clean
break
sweep.
Down. Yeah.
Boston.
Boston, Massachusetts, number seven on the list, 39.7%.
Serves you right, Boston.
All right. So, Jonathan, back to you.
San Francisco.
San Francisco, California, number three on the list, 61% over the U.S.
Those hippies will buy anything as long as it says it's green.
That's not very nice.
And some of the time they're buying green.
Oh, wow.
Just all saying.
Right. Oh,
not just saying, but just saying.
Just saying.
All right, Mark.
Shout out to Haight Ashbury.
Nice. Based on my $8 PBRs I bought there before, I'm going Miami.
Miami, not on the list.
Oh, I'm surprised.
$27 pitchers?
That was my next guess.
Yeah, well, how much do their catchers cost?
Not for the Marlins.
Never mind. I'm not going to say anything.
All right, Carmela.
Well, based on what my brother paid for rent on a one-bedroom apartment, I'm going to say Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado, not on the list. All right, we're going to go one more round around, and then we'll finish up. So, Uncle Chip.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Not on the list.
That was a really good answer, though. I appreciate how well done that answer was. I'm going San Diego, California.
Number 10 on the list, 30% above U.S.
I realized a minute ago, property values are part of this equation.
That's exactly right.
California property values are ridiculous.
Yep. Mark.
I'm going back to outside of D.C. I'm going Fairfax, Virginia.
Not on the list.
You might should have just said D.C.
Number six on the list, Washington, D.C.
You were so close, Mark.
I think I said it somewhere in there.
But you know what? I got number one, and that's what really matters.
That's exactly right. Okay, so anybody want to give one more shot before we continue on?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
It's not on the list.
Is it another California one?
There's one more California one. There's a Connecticut, and there's a Hawaii.
Hartford?
Stamford, Connecticut.
Stamford.
So
Stamford,
it must be Honolulu.
Honolulu is number two.
And then the other 69%. One would be, it wouldn't be Oakland. Stafford. Could it be Sacramento?
Sacramento.
Actually, it is Oakland.
It's Oakland.
Really?
Wow.
So,
you know, I have a podcasting friend who actually just moved from Oakland because of the sky high prices for small apartments.
Oh, wow. So you can believe it.
Yeah, now that you say it, it does ring a bell.
All right. So that is your warm it up, Chris, question of the episode.
So who won?
Actually, you and Carmela both had two. Actually, no, I'm sorry. No, you and Uncle Chip both had two, correct. So you guys are the tied victors.
Good job, Chip.
And for the most wrong answers, Mark gets that one, correct.
Thank you.
Because Mark didn't want to say the name of the city. He kept going for these.
He just wanted to go with the ones around the city.
I know.
I think Mark ought to get credit for getting, doing the perimeter and also getting all of them wrong. It's hard to get all of them wrong.
He was like playing a game of Battleship where he kept hitting all around the ships but not actually hitting any.
Another 10 tries and I would have centered right in on DC.
All right. So, Jonathan, you want to explain this episode to everybody?
Okay, yeah. So we're doing, just like last episode, we're doing teams again. This time the team is Chris and his uncle Chip, family
matters.
Family over there, and myself and Mark in Mark's first appearance as a contestant.
This is outstanding. I'm very excited about this.
Mm-hmm. I'm nervous because I'm stuck with him.
Aww. I was thinking the same thing.
Mark, you're stuck with him.
Uh-huh.
And then, and the
Carmella is going to be asking the questions.
Yay. Hello.
So, Carmella, take it away.
All right, let's get started. Oh. Round one, question one is going to be about the internet. What does the acronym HTTP stand for?
All I know is Jonathan's already writing it down.
We're locked in.
Okay.
Do we get partial credit if we know what WWW stands for? No.
That wasn't the question I asked. So,
I believe P is protocol, but I'm not 100% sure. The H and the TNT, I have no idea. That it's like
it's dynamite.
High transfer something protocol, maybe.
Oi. Oi.
So. All right, high transfer technical protocol.
All right, we're going to go with high transfer technical protocol as our bad answer.
We said hypertext transfer protocol.
Ah. It is hypertext transfer protocol.
All right.
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Of course, as he sits over there with his fancy computer. And
no, because if you look on a computer, there's nowhere to be found what HTTP stands for, except for HTTP just hanging around there. Right. So.
Yeah, that comes not from my computer knowledge. That comes from my trivia knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, is it trivia or is it just stuff you've been doing?
No, straight up trivia.
Because you work IT, so I mean.
Straight up trivia.
I got you. Okay.
I learned it and it stuck.
Fair enough.
I missed it like three times before it stuck.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
That tends to help things stick.
That gives me comfort, actually. A lot of comfort.
Because that's the first time I've been asked that question.
Ah, me too.
There we go. Two more times and I'll know it.
Yeah, I won't know it after two more times. All right, second question.
All right, the second question is going to be in history.
All right.
What battle ended in the defeat of Napoleon Bonaparte and his exile to the island of St. Helena?
Wow. I'll let you talk about it since you just were there.
We're locked in.
Right. Interesting story. As Chris said, I just had a real nice...
were you there?
...two-week trip in France and Belgium, and I went to not only different sites in Belgium... But I went to the battlefield of Waterloo.
No, I was actually asking, were you there at the original battle?
Oh.
No, I was a little too old for it. They wouldn't let me in.
There you go. Good answer. We said Waterloo as well. Actually, it was funny that you were very specific about being exiled to St. Helena.
And not to Elba.
Exactly. I was like, reading this morning. I have a cool little history book that has snippets of all kinds of stuff, and it was very detailed about the first exile was to Elba, then he came back for his 100 days, mm-hmm. got defeated at Waterloo, and then went to St. Helena.
So I've been rereading my favorite book, which is The Count of Monte Cristo, and they talk about that 100 days
yes.
as part of the story, and it was the Battle of Waterloo and on June 18th, 1815.
Yes.
Right. What's really interesting about the Count of Monte Cristo
mm-hmm.
is the main character, Edmond Dantes, was accused of being a Bonapartist and thrown into jail. Months later, when Bonaparte came back, it didn't get him out of jail. He was still in jail.
Is that where he invented the sandwich?
No.
Yeah. I took your joke.
Took my line.
All right, so the final question of the first round.
All right, final question is going to be in music.
Do-do-do.
According to the Guinness Book of World Records, what song holds the record for the most cover versions?
Oh, wow.
Carmella.
Yes.
For the purposes of this question, could you define a cover? Does a cover mean an officially released song?
A recorded cover.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to go ahead and lock in an answer so you guys can talk.
I originally wrote down yesterday because I remember that being the answer to a famous cover question because yesterday was one of those that was recorded over and over again. Plus, it fits Carmella's wheelhouse, which is Beatles questions. She loves a good Beatles question, so that's just knowing your question asker. But then Uncle Chip wrote down White Christmas, and it started making me think Christmas music in general was a great idea because every single year – we have like 50 or 60 new Christmas albums where people are recording the same songs over and over and over again. But my problem is, Uncle Chip, is that I don't know if White Christmas is really that one because then you got Jingle Bell Rock, you've got Santa Claus is Coming to Town, you've got, Little Star Bethlehem, you got Little Drummer Boy. I mean, you've got all these really good ones. And so it's just that's where I'm kind of struggling a little bit is on that one. Do you have any other Christmas songs that you potentially could think of? Because I love the answer.
Well, Santa Claus is Coming to Town would probably be one of those. What I thought of with White Christmas is the age of it. The fact that it you know, it came out in the 40s, and that would give you plenty of time for people every year, like you say, to redo it, you know?
As Jonathan is humming it for the listeners to listen to enjoy. But, I mean, and yeah, so I think we're going to go ahead and stick with your answer, because that's the one, because I don't have a better answer on that, but I really like the thought of it. So our final answer is White Christmas.
Okay, we'd like to put down generic Christmas music, but you won't let us
know. So for logic, we came up in the same direction. We wrote down Silent Night.
Ah, very nice.
Yesterday.
No! Are you serious?
All my troubles seem so far away.
I've got to be honest. I don't believe that's true.
No. Yes, it has over 2,000 recorded covers. It holds the Guinness World Record.
What?
Yes.
How is that possible? We both went in the same direction. And Chris, when you said yesterday, I remembered a connection there that I hadn't remembered before that. But logically, I mean, I don't have any problem saying that I believe there's like 10,000 Silent Nights out there.
Yeah.
But that one's the Guinness World Record holder.
Yeah. So. Can't argue with that.
All right.
And how old is the book you're looking at?
Incidentally, have you been hearing the
89?
Have you been following the situation with Happy Birthday?
Oh yes, it finally came out of the. It finally entered the public domain.
It finally entered the public domain.
Yeah, right.
So
now
two
all
families.
Of a sudden, the biggest thing apparently was movies where they'd want to be doing a scene with that in it,
right.
And they couldn't do it before.
Well, not the big. The biggest thing is all the restaurants. You'll notice every restaurant you've ever been to has their own unique version of Happy Birthday. Yeah. It's because it wasn't in the public domain, and they didn't want to pay for the copyright.
That's so weird because it's. I thought it had to be recorded, and you had to make money off of it in order for it to.
If they're using it for business purposes.
Oh, okay. That's where it fits that bill. Yep. Okay. All right. So after round one, Jonathan and Mark are up 20 to 10.
Sweet.
All right. Round two. First question is going to be in science.
Science.
Science. Better.
Yes. Come on, Mark. Where's yours?
He said it was low key.
Okay.
He said science.
He's like, science.
Nature.
Valles Marineris is the name of a canyon network. On what planet in our solar system?
Crap.
Say the name again for me, please.
Valles Marineris.
I like a good Marineris on my noodles.
It's the meatball planet.
All right. We'll go ahead and lock it in.
We don't believe it's going to be one of the gas giants because we wouldn't probably haven't seen the surface for those planets. So Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune are all eliminated.
Uranus.
And we eliminated Pluto strictly because it's a dwarf planet. Then we eliminated Mercury because it's so close to the sun, honestly, we don't think there are many geographical features there. It's kind of molten in some places. So that left us with Venus and Mars, and we're still kind of debating over that. And we thought for a second, Mariana Trench. And so then that came to the Sea of Tranquility. It's like, wait, the moon's not a planet, so not that. I was suggesting that it might be Mars because M-A-R, is the first part of the word Marineris, and that's where we are at the moment.
I think we've explored a lot more of the surface of Mars than we have with Venus, so I would think we'd be more likely to find features on Mars than we would Venus, so I would agree with Mars.
All right, we're going to go Mars.
Okay, Chip, take it away.
You know, it could have been Earth.
Could have been. We thought about that.
Yeah, we just, unlike you guys, we went, sounds like Mars. Mars.
Okay. It is Mars.
Nice.
Yay.
Valles Marineris. The Marineris part actually comes from Mariner, which is the satellite probe that hovered around it and took pictures of it.
About that.
Well done. Good question.
Nice question.
You guys really just looked at each other and said, Mars?
No, said pretty much. I went, okay, sounds good, because I don't know nothing.
Well, I've done that. And you're like, I think it's this.
The word Valles sounded like valley to me, and Marineris had that Mariner word to it.
Wow.
All right. Second question is going to be in literature.
Literature.
Books.
Charles Ludwig Dodgson is the real name of what famous author?
Wow. Jonathan's locking in real quick.
Well, this is all Jonathan. If it's
We're locked in. 100%.
Wow.
Charles Ludwig Dodgson.
Is it Dickens?
And help me out here. I'm thinking... It's the guy that wrote Alice in Wonderland, and I can't...
Lewis Carroll?
I think it's Lewis Carroll.
All right. Is that... Yes?
Yeah.
All right, Lewis Carroll's our final answer.
Holy crap, Mark. I wrote down the wrong one. It's Lewis Carroll.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
What did you write down?
Said it, I wrote down Dickens. I thought it was Dickens, but it's Lewis Carroll.
It is Lewis Carroll.
Nice.
It's a good thing that was not a 3-2-1.
But I'm glad you're there because I couldn't get Lewis Carroll out of it.
Nice. That's awesome.
And you know that Lewis...
And Jonathan pulled a Chris there.
You know what it was? You know what messed me up? Artful Dodger.
The Artful Dodger.
There you go.
Dodgson, Dodger, Mark... I'm sorry.
I had no clue.
I'm a jerk.
I had no clue. I was going with Dr. Seuss on it.
That's Theodore Geisel.
Dr. Seuss.
Golly, man. I hate it because I know that. Oh.
All right.
Last question in the second round.
Last question in the round is going to be in geography.
Okay.
What is the name of the peninsula that sits between the Caribbean Sea and the Bay of Campeche?
What?
Okay. What is the name of the peninsula that sits between the Caribbean Sea and the Bay of Campeche?
All right. We're locked in.
All right. We're going to go with the Yucatan Peninsula.
Okay. And actually, according to Uncle Chip, it's the Yucatan Peninsula.
It is the Yucatan Peninsula.
Nice. Good job, Mark.
All right, Mark.
I was struggling with it because I was hearing Caribbean, and I was thinking, well, that's got to be south of Florida. But... it's not Florida. Where's a peninsula down there? And when he said Yucatan, I thought that was the one on the left side of Mexico. But that's the Baja Peninsula.
Right.
Peninsula. Mm-hmm. And
but,
so...
Campeche Bay is like a major resort, isn't it?
It's a Mexican restaurant also.
That I do know.
It also is a Mexican restaurant, yes.
That's where Cancun is.
Yeah.
And the Yucatan.
Cozumel and all that, yeah.
Isn't Yucatan also where they think the asteroid hit that or comet hit that killed the dinosaurs?
Yep, just off Chicxulub. The north side of it, yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow, look at that.
Let's get a scoring update.
Okay, it's tied 50-50.
All right, okay. So we're not behind. I felt really bad about Lewis Carroll, man.
If you didn't get the Lewis Carroll one, you still would have had the nudge on us.
Golly.
Did you feel Baseball Hall of Fame bad about it?
No.
Okay, then you know.
Oh, dude, that was the best ever.
Round 3, first question is going to be in movies. What is the name of the saber-toothed squirrel in the 2002 movie Ice Age?
Is this a 1, 2, 3? Ready?
You're confident in it?
Oh, I'm 100%. I just wrote it down, too, so I'm 100% confident in it.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Scrat.
It is Scrat.
And do you know that he got his balloon in the Macy's Day Parade for the first time this year?
No kidding. Wow.
If you had asked a true-false question, are they still doing the Macy's Day Parade, I probably would have said false.
Oh, wow.
You're asking about floats.
You didn't watch
it. Like, they still do parades?
I love a parade.
Yeah. Scrat's nuts flew away yesterday in the parade.
Well, that's what happens when you fight with your ex-wife.
Is that true, and was it a joke?
Or is
this just a joke altogether?
Just a joke. He can't hold
on. They really should have done that.
You know he can't hold on to his nuts.
Have a float in front of him that he's trying to reach that he can't get.
Oh,
that would have been awesome.
So the second question is going to be on traditions. The gold anniversary is celebrated after how many years of marriage?
I hate anniversary questions. Oh, my God, I hate these. Which one's the dirt anniversary? Is that the early or the late ones?
The dirt one? I think that's when your marriage ends.
Yeah, I would say that's when you sign the divorce paper.
No, I was going with once you're in the ground.
Okay, we're locked in.
And no, I haven't been married that long.
All right, you're locked in. Oh, yes. There's a clue. Thank you.
You're already locked in?
Do you know how long he's been married?
We're not locked in. We got to talk about it. You said you're locked in.
Yes.
So, Mark.
Jonathan.
You guys are so cute together over there.
What a team. Twinsies.
I hate these questions. Not like all of Carmella's questions, but no.
Just the majority of
no
them.
No anniversary questions.
Jonathan, I'm really surprised you have not started researching this because these questions have come up.
I despise these.
It's like this and James Bond questions. Because anytime Mark goes, okay, the next category is James Bond, you and I look at each other and go, oh, crap.
So we learned... the other day that there is no 75 anniversary quest anniversary. There's no 75th thing.
Because nobody lives that
I
long.
I think 50 is diamond. And I would think that gold would be 20 or 25.
I would agree with you if we go 25 on it.
25? Is there a platinum anniversary?
I guess when you sell like 200,000 albums or something.
There should be a baseball anniversary. It's like, honey, we're going to a baseball game.
Actually, platinum's 1 million.
Oh, it's 1 million?
Yeah.
I haven't sold
that.
That's
a long wedding.
What's a gold album?
What do you think silver would be if gold's 25?
It could be 20, actually.
Okay, so it's only 5 more years from silver to gold.
Okay. I mean, it could be gold is 40 and or diamonds 50. That could be that, too. I'm not good at these.
All right. I thought silver was 20. It's not 25 for silver?
I don't feel like 25 seems like a big year.
All right, you want to go with 25?
Do you want to go with something different?
Oh, not if it's wrong.
Can you tell
good
us
strategy.
Good answer.
Can you tell us the answer before we have to answer the question?
No.
So you don't believe gold's 50.
For you.
I think gold.
Okay. How about
hold on. Wait. Okay. So it is possible that gold could be 50 and diamond could be 60.
Okay.
That could be possible. In fact, that could be silver 25, gold 50, diamond 60. 60 is a reasonable number of years to be married. If you got married at the age of 20 and you hit 80 and you're still married, that could be a reasonable thing. 75 isn't reasonable.
Something tells me that when you get to the diamond, it's not in the same increments as the other one. So that may be good logic.
So you want to say gold is 50?
Let's go with 50.
Okay.
All right, 50.
We went 50 as well.
All right, so you guys both said 50.
Yeah.
And you, by the way, were correct. Diamond is 60. Silver is 25 and gold is 50.
Great job, Mark. Great job.
Paper is one. And Mark asked us one time on his trivia questions about wood. Didn't you, Mark?
I believe I did.
That was actually the 1 month anniversary.
That was the honeymoon.
That was the honeymoon. No, I believe that was 5, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
All right. So last question in the first half.
All right. It's going to be in music.
All right.
What 90s grunge band was originally named Mookie Blaylock?
3-2-1, Jonathan. We've talked about it on the show a few times.
We have?
Yeah, I'm locking in then.
Are you serious?
I think we got it.
What?
Hold on,
time out.
I'm locked in.
We've talked about this?
We absolutely have.
With me?
Yes. There's nobody else I do a podcast with.
I've never heard this.
Mark asked me to do a podcast with him once, and I was like, I don't know what kind of shady stuff.
Let me write. See, did you write it down?
I got no time for this.
We're locked in.
Let me see this. Seriously? Really?
I'm pretty sure that's who it is.
Okay, I believe you.
Unless you have something else.
No. I'll go with you, but we've never talked about it.
We have.
Oh, crap. Now I'm starting to worry about it.
I've listened to every episode, Chris.
Well, that's the only thing I'm thinking of is, did it make the show? But I know we've talked about it on the show.
Okay, so, well, Mark's answering for us. Are you?
I'm locked in. I've already written it down.
I'm
180% positive. I've circled it and everything.
All right, so Mark, what do you got?
I'm going to say Pearl Jam.
That is Pearl Jam.
It is Pearl Jam.
All right.
Their first
album, 10, was named after his jersey number.
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah. Mookie Blaylock.
Because that was Eddie Vedder's favorite basketball player. Was Mookie Blaylock.
Yeah. You know, that's...
And instead, they named it after his grandmother, Pearl.
So, okay, we might have talked about the Pearl part. I don't remember the Mookie
part. Was Pearl jamming all the
time? You know what messes me up is I hear Mookie Blaylock, and I don't think basketball. I think baseball, and I get mixed up with Mookie Wilson. So the whole time you're saying Pearl Jam, I'm like, well, Pearl Jam's from Seattle. Why would Mookie Wilson be his favorite player? This doesn't make any sense to me. That's what was happening with my brain.
All right. We got a great game going. Another classic. 80-80.
Whoa. Mark is more than holding his own over here, by the way.
Great.
Good job, Mark.
I would have maybe 40 or 50 right now.
We'll see.
In fact, I'm the only reason we have a wrong answer.
I didn't know it either, though.
Okay.
All right. So for the mid question, it's going to be about flags. So... The Southern Cross is a constellation that can only be seen in the Southern Hemisphere. Name 4 out of the 5 countries that have it depicted on their flag.
Man, so everybody's writing stuff down but me, and that's because I'm clueless. I am like Cher. I'm clueless.
I got you, babe.
Wrong Cher.
I know.
Okay.
I got flowers in the spring.
We're locked in.
Oh, great. Well, then we're talking. Australia, I think, has it. New Zealand, I think, has it. And Mauritius, I think, might have it. Yeah.
Now you're just making up names.
So nothing in...
I think like Fiji or something like that.
So entirely Southern Pacific, nothing elsewhere?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm pretty sure about that.
I've got nothing on this one.
So what are your answers?
Entirely you.
We're going to go with Australia, New Zealand, Mauritius, and Fiji.
Okay.
And we, Australia, New Zealand, those are the two obvious ones, Indonesia, and Chile.
The answers are Brazil, Australia, Samoa, Papua New Guinea, and New Zealand.
Right. So we both got two.
Yep.
Okay. We'll take it.
I kind of had the right idea with Chile.
You did. But I didn't think it was South American at all.
Well, I mean, Southern Hemisphere. So.
Yeah, I just didn't think it was. I couldn't think of those.
And anytime I hear Southern Cross, I think of the great Crosby, Stills, and Nash song, Southern Cross.
What a great song that is, too.
That's fantastic.
I don't think I've heard that one.
Really?
Oh. You put a video in the show notes.
Maybe one of those things you may have and just didn't. Yeah, absolutely.
When you see the Southern Cross for the first time.
Wow, I don't know how you're saying it, but all right. Keep going, my friend.
I was doing David Crosby after his liver transplant.
Okay. How did it feel when you did him after his liver transplant?
Anyway, but yeah.
I wasn't as drunk.
I'll play it for you after the show, but it will be the video.
Based on what I've heard so far, I can do without. Thanks.
No, I'm going to play the actual song
I think I'm okay.
Song. It's Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
It's a Come great on. Song.
Anyway.
I like like three of their songs.
So going into the second half, we're still all tied up, 90-90.
So round four, first question is going to be in history. What 12th century English monarch was known as Lionheart?
Yeah. You want a 3-2-1 or?
Sure.
Okay. Three, two, one.
Richard the Third.
I thought
it was Clarence the Cross-Eyed Lionheart.
You guys only said Richard, so if it's not Richard the First, it's not right.
It is Richard the First.
Then we're not right.
Boom!
Why are you making eyes at me?
Because
you gave me a squinty eye.
Because it's funny. And
what's bad about that is we agreed on it.
Wow.
We totally. Richard III was the Lion of Winter, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Well, but he may have been the Lion of Winter because his forefather was Lionhearted.
No,
so
Richard III is the famous one that was. There was a Shakespeare play by Richard III, and he was the one who allegedly killed his two nephews in the Tower of London.
They all did bad stuff.
He was the hunchback. Richard the Lionheart was the one that was always gone on crusade.
I know that, too.
Yeah.
I just thought it was... He thought it was the third.
And we agreed on it, too. Nice. Oh, my goodness. Mark, we screwed the pooch, man.
We'll get him next
time. That sounds disgusting.
It bit.
All right, next question's
going to be...
Poor me.
The next question's going to be in sports. Who threw the fastest recorded pitch in MLB history at 105.1 miles per hour?
Wow.
I'm going to throw out a really unusual one for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I got a feeling I know what the answer is, but...
Carmela, how recent is your research?
I looked it up today just to make sure.
Okay. We're locked in. You can talk.
Talk about what you wrote down. Mark Feller.
Mark Feller was also known as Rapid Robert. He was a pitcher in the 50s, early 60s. He pitched for the Cleveland Indians, led them to a World Series championship. And I just remember him having one heck of a fastball.
Okay. I think the answer is a more recent one, and that's a... I can't pronounce his first name, so I'm just going to do the last name scenario and say Chapman, who's the reliever for the Cincinnati Reds. So Chapman's our final answer.
Okay.
And if it's Feller, then I'm just going to have to cry apologies.
If you'd have gone with Feller, you would have been wrong anyway, because his name's Bob Feller.
It is. No, that's why I said
Robert Feller.
Robert Feller. I was about ready to change it. It's Robert, not Mark Feller. Robert
okay,
Feller.
Now that name makes more sense. I was like, I had no idea who Mark Feller is. Bob Feller, I know exactly who that is.
Yeah. We said Chapman.
It is Chapman.
Nice.
Cincinnati Reds.
He has set and broke that record two or three times at least recently. It used to be 103 was the highest that I've ever seen.
And is Adronis, is that how you say it?
Aroldis,
yeah. Okay. The last question in the round is going to be in music. What famous band won the 1974 Eurovision contest with the song Waterloo?
Tell me the year again, please.
1974.
All right, we're locked in.
You said you're locked in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Crap.
This is all, I mean, dude, this has been all Uncle Chip this second half. So, except for Chapman.
There's something familiar about Waterloo.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
I've heard something about this recently, but it does not sound familiar right now.
It's not Napoleon Bonaparte. Yeah, I know we talked about that earlier.
I think that's interesting that it shows up twice in the same question.
I did that on purpose.
I know you did.
So that kind of an award would be like for a newer group, like a best new artist kind of a thing for European, maybe?
It sounds like a TV show. It sounds like an American Idol kind of thing.
Eurovision is actually a competition where all the countries in Europe, they put on like this giant performance where each country does a song. So it's apparently like super huge in Europe.
Yeah.
Like
we wrote down Wild Stallions.
Okay, so here's something. I'm going to throw something out here. Okay. And you guys might, if this is right, you guys might want to throw the question out, because I wouldn't have come up with this at all if Carmela hadn't just added that stuff.
Okay.
ABBA.
Okay. They have a song called Waterloo.
Do they not?
I believe they do.
That's why I was thinking that I've heard that before. We've had a conversation about ABBA, specifically with Carmela. I was railing about the top karaoke songs of all time, and I was like, these are total BS. And I think Carmela remembered that and put this question in there specifically because of that first conversation. So I would say ABBA.
I would agree with that. That sounds
Waterloo.
Wow, that's scary.
You guys couldn't see what just happened there, but Chip's arms just came off of his body and started floating around the room. It was awkward.
Yeah. Well, he wrote down ABBA as well, and so as for throwing out the question, I'll leave that to you guys. I mean, it's 6-1 way up.
Well, I leave it to Carmela. She asked the question.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine with the question. That was one of the reasons why I put it in. The other reason is because it was part of the soundtrack for The Martian, which I saw recently.
Okay.
All right, and the answer is ABBA.
How does Waterloo go again, Chip?
No, please no.
I should do a vine of him doing this dance.
That's so scary.
All right, and let's get a score update since we just ended round
yes,
four.
Yes, I'm sorry. After round four, C&C Music Factory is up 120 to 110.
You guys ready to get into round five?
Yes. We're not interrupting you because we're afraid of you.
Speak for yourself.
Nah, I know Jonathan's not afraid of me.
I'm too dumb to be afraid.
It's going to be in mythology.
Crap.
In Greek mythology, what guards the gates of the underworld?
We're locked in.
We said Cerberus.
Yep.
We said Cerberus.
Cerberus, the three-headed dog.
Yes. Yay. I was about to say Fluffy, and then he wrote down the right
name. I was just going
to
say Fluffy.
It's so Fluffy!
And Fluffy is in...
Harry Potter.
Hello,
Harry.
That's not the only thing that guarded the gates. I mean, the whole River Styx kind of guarded the gates.
A little bit.
More to that.
It was a lake of fire. For
Charon. A ferryman.
Hey, don't pay the ferryman until he gets you to the other side.
I wonder... If somebody made a scary movie thing about Greek mythology, the ferryman would be like a really flaming gay guy on a boat. He'd be the ferryman.
I think Billy Bob Thornton would be a good role for him. He kind of has that like skeletal look about him.
We got to see her stars.
Mm-hmm. But she didn't full moon. She didn't full moon us, though.
No.
Carmela is a star.
All right. Oh, wow. All right. So next question, please.
All right. Next question is going to be in science.
Science.
Nature.
What?
I didn't get a science out of you, Mark.
Science.
Thank you.
Who is credited with inventing both the parachute and the diving suit?
Wow. Actually, I think I know this answer. And that's the answer I was thinking, so, yeah. We're locked in.
You guys are a formidable team over there.
Hey, we trust each other. There's a trust factor here.
I mean, it's almost like we're related.
So you said Cousteau.
Yeah, because one of the two things...
Diving suit.
...is not related to the other.
Right.
One's a dummy thing that they invented. I want to say that Cousteau invented the diving suit.
I was wondering, when was he young? What age?
Before he became an adult. And after infancy.
Was he around the 1920s, the 1950s? I feel like he was alive as an old man in the 80s. Am I wrong about that?
He may have been. There are only two like maritime like diving people I know. It's Robert Ballard, who discovered the Titanic.
Yeah.
And Cousteau. And I know Cousteau was big. in the diving before Ballard was?
So I was going in a different direction. I was thinking about Harry Houdini.
Okay.
And it could be totally like way off, but I know that he was figuring out tricks and stunts, and so that's what made me think it could be both a diving suit and a parachute. Also, oh, son of a gun, it could be... Could you read the question again?
Who is credited with inventing both the parachute and the diving suit?
It could be freaking Da Vinci, dude.
Mm.
He came up with the first flying machine. Mm. He could have done a sketch. In fact, he had wings and stuff on his sketches.
Yeah, but did it really work, though?
No.
It was just the design. I think they're related in the sense that somebody used them to jump out of an airplane in the middle of the water. And then land safely with the parachute.
At the bottom of the ocean?
No, and then go down in the water and then get picked up later on. I think there's a
relationship. I think that's insane. He jumped out of a plane with a parachute. In a diving suit and into the water to dive.
That's an extreme sport if I ever heard one.
I'm telling you.
It was a halo jump.
I think it's Cousteau, but...
You do.
I believe it's Cousteau.
All right, we'll go with your answer.
All right.
We'll go with your answer. Cousteau.
Okay. Actually, I mean, there's a couple people that you could talk about when it comes to inventing stuff. Benjamin Franklin's one of them because he created so much stuff, it's ridiculous. Edison's the other one, and the answer we went with was Leonardo da Vinci.
It is Leonardo da Vinci.
Boom! Oh. Now the Mark feels like crap.
The appropriate word on that was credited to, not actually was able to accomplish it.
Mm. Oh, I got a lot of inventions then.
Yes, you do.
I just haven't actually made them, but I got a lot of ideas.
I got a self-cleaning toilet that I think would be perfect.
Oh, man. Mark, I should have fought harder for that.
My bad.
All right. So, final question of the fifth round.
Who thought of that over there, by the way?
Actually, we both knew it because I said, I have an answer, and then he was writing it down, and I said, that's the answer. So, I really, that's what I would have said.
Last question is going to be in geography. In what country would you find Devil's Peak?
We're locked in.
Oh, you're locked in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
So,
locked in we are.
Originally, Mark wrote down U.S., and I said, I don't think it's in U.S. I think that's the Devil's Tower.
Yeah.
I wrote down Chile, and... So you asked me why, and I don't have a really good answer. I remember seeing a documentary doodad where there's a mountain that has an opening to a fire pit or something like that, like a continually burning fire pit, like a gate of hell kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was in Chile. And this, a Devil's Peak could very well be like the home of something like that.
Okay.
So that's why I said Chile.
And it is on the edge of the Ring of Fire.
And it's in the Andes.
Okay.
So that's where I went. You good with that? Or do you have a better answer?
No. We'll go with Chile.
Okay. Chile it is.
Okay. We said the United States.
It is in South Africa.
Oh.
It's in Cape Town.
No, I wrote down South Africa first. It was like, no, that's the wrong answer. That sucks. Holy crap. Seriously.
We weren't anywhere close to it.
I wrote down South Africa first and crossed it out because I was like, no, there's no way that that's the answer.
Wow.
Gosh.
Man. Almost a good job, Chris, but okay. Totally not.
Oh, I totally tanked that sucker. All right. So going into the sixth round, we're up a little bit more, 140 to 120.
Crap a duck, Mark.
All right, going into round six. First question's going to be in sports.
Sports!
Michaela Maroney is a silver medalist in what Olympic sport?
I'm locked in.
Okay, because like I was thinking...
My first thought was that it might be swimming, but then I'm thinking it could be snowboarding.
Michaela Maroney, and what's funny is I was thinking gymnastics for one reason or another, because I thought there was a Michaela... Yeah.
You know, it's one of those names that I know the name... But I cannot dig out the event.
So we need to. Okay, so we have three answers. So we need to figure out which one we want to go with then.
Equestrian. No.
No. Okay, now we have four. Now we still need to come up with one.
I think you're right.
You want to go with gymnastics?
Yeah.
All right, our final answer is gymnastics.
Michaela is not impressed.
Okay.
It is gymnastics.
It's gymnastics. She won the silver in 2012.
That's the girl from the meme.
Isn't she
who's like.
I mean, they're all small.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Seriously?
Yeah. She's the one that was so grumpy looking. Yeah.
Yes.
She's also in the 30 Seconds to Mars video.
Yeah.
You don't know that?
No, I'll look it up when I get home.
You totally know that.
She became famous for that.
Yes.
Is it kind of like the guy that has his eyes bugged out when The Undertaker lost in WrestleMania?
No, it's much more popular than that.
Oh, I don't know. That dude was pretty awesome. His eyes were literally bugging out of his head. All right.
Trust me.
All right, next question's going to be in religion.
Okay.
Who is the founder of Mormonism? I want a first and last name.
We're locked in.
Okay. It's Joseph Smith.
We wrote down Joseph Smith.
It is Joseph Smith.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I wrote down John Smith, and he corrected me.
That would have been wrong.
Because I always get John Smith and John Brown mixed up, and I always forget it's Joseph.
Yeah,
I was hoping you'd say Brigham Young.
That's what I wrote, actually.
Yeah.
He said, no.
As my father used to say, whenever you bring them young.
Oh, wow.
That's why I asked for first and last name. Because you could have said Smith, and it's like, well, you could be talking about me.
I know a man with a wooden leg named Smith.
Really?
Really? Nobody's going to finish the joke?
Nope. What sorry.
What's the name of his other leg? Oh, my God. Somebody go watch Mary Poppins, people.
I was just going to say, from Mary Poppins, right?
Mm. Yes. Anyway, Sherry Bobbins. All right, so last question.
It's going to be in movies.
Thank goodness.
Donald Sutherland and Kiefer Sutherland have only been in two movies together. Max Duggan Returns is one of them. What is the other?
Crap. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Okay, never mind. I don't want a movies question. I don't want a movies question. You said the first one was Max Duggan Returns?
Mm-hmm. Max Duggan Returns was the first movie, and what was the second?
I've never even heard of that movie.
It's Hacksaw Jim's cousin.
Oh!
I remember Max Duggan Returns. I think it had...
Kiefer and Donald Sutherland.
You know... That's as good an answer as any. Let's go with that.
All right. We're locked in. We're locked in, guys.
We got nothing over here, man. We got bup cuss.
If it makes you feel better, same here.
We're spitballing a couple of them.
So I don't think it's Flatliners. I don't think it's Lost Boys. You're talking about a movie where Kiefer Sullivan... Sutherland, I'm just going to say his name wrong. I'm going to say Kiefer Sullivan. Kiefer Sullivan...
Kiefer.
...was... You're saying he was a criminal / pedophile in a movie.
Yeah, he went to jail for something, and it was like a pedophile crime, and he came back out again, but I don't know if that... Could Donald Sutherland have been Kiefer's dad in Stand By Me? Like a bit part as one of his dad?
It could be, but I've never seen Stand By Me, so I don't know.
Out of anything that I have, I would go with Stand By Me, but I have no clue.
So Kiefer was definitely in some action movies back in the 90s. I mentioned the Three Musketeers. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Donald wasn't in that anywhere. There is some end of the world or nuclear bomb threat kind of movie that he was in that I can't remember. But truthfully, even if you name the one that they're both in, I'm probably not going to be able to say you're right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm just not good at movie questions. So
not true, Jonathan. I disagree with that. You do a pretty good job, but this is a very hard question.
If you want to say Stand By Me, it's not going to bother me.
All right, we'll go with Stand By Me.
Okay.
And we're going to go with the double feature of Ordinary People and Stand By Me.
No.
Kidding. Flatliners is the one we guessed on.
Yeah.
Well, boys, the answer is A Time to Kill.
Oh, wow. Really?
Mm-hmm.
And I have never seen that movie.
That was the Sandra Bullock, Matthew McConaughey one?
No, that Samuel has Jackson? Samuel Jackson in it.
Samuel Jackson.
That had Matthew McConaughey and Sandra Bullock in it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I remember Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. Yeah, that was the very first John Grisham book, but it was like the third or fourth movie that it came out.
I don't remember either of them being
there. No, I don't either. That's crazy. I mean, because...
Kiefer Sutherland's one of the guys who was on trial.
Oh, he's one of the rednecks.
Oh, okay. Right. All right, so going into the final, it is 160 for us, 140 for you guys.
All right, you guys ready for your category?
Let's shut this down.
It's going to be in science.
Science.
All right, we're locked in.
Yeah, we're good too.
Of course you are.
All right, so let's go ahead and get to the question. Put these elements in the order of their discovery, earliest to latest.
Oh, balls. Crap. Okay.
Radium. Plutonium, nitrogen, and radon.
Yeah, actually, that's what I would go with. Yeah. We're locked in. That's funny, because that's where I was going with it. I have no freaking clue if it's right.
I am wrong. So, I think nitrogen's the first one.
I agree with you on that one.
Okay, and I think radium was in the early 1900s.
Yeah, I think so. I think I want to say I either saw it on Drunk History Or I awesome. Somewhere similar.
Now, when, is that you were drunk watching history, or is there a show called Drunk History?
I was teaching history, and I was
actually, there's a TV show on Comedy Central called Drunk History.
I know, I'm just making a joke.
Sorry, I know you don't know much what's on TV. That's why I was trying to.
I believe your time frame is accurate on that too.
So, plutonium, I think, is last.
Okay, and that's.
I think that they discovered it when they were working with uranium and trying to find nuclear materials.
Okay, so you think radon?
I don't know where to put radon. I think it's after radium. I think it's after radium, but I don't know. I guess I think plutonium's in the 30s and 40s. Okay. I don't know if radon is after that or before that.
See, I agreed with plutonium being in the 40s, like the early 40s or whatever. Radon. All I know about radon is it's the colorless, odorless gas that they test your houses for.
And they started talking about that in the 80s, as far as I remember.
I had to 70s, think somewhere 80s, around 1960-ish.
So you think that might be last?
But that doesn't necessarily mean that's when it was discovered.
Totally in the same boat as you.
Yeah.
So we would, based on what we're agreeing here,
our ones and twos are.
We'd say nitrogen. Radium, plutonium, radon.
That's where I'm at.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, so we're saying nitrogen, radium, plutonium, radon.
Okay. Okay.
All right, we went nitrogen, radium, radon, and plutonium.
All right, so let's see who's right. In 1772, nitrogen. 1898, radium. 1900, radon. In 1940, plutonium.
We were right. Boom.
It just felt right.
Wow.
Because I knew plutonium was I knew plutonium fit what you were saying, Jonathan, later because it became part of atomic atomic weapons and so forth.
And I was thinking plutonium was later just because of Back to the Future.
Of course.
I know. It's not the smartest answer, but...
Chris, your team has gotten the final question right 2 games in a row.
Yes, and actually, we both agreed on the setup, whereas in the previous game, Carmella just nailed it, and I just took credit for it.
As usual.
these team games have not been very good to me.
No.
I'm not feeling good.
You're
about
ready to go solo
right
now.
You're a lone wolf.
Actually, I wouldn't have been better by myself in this game. You were extremely helpful.
All right, so what point value did you bet?
We bet 25.
And we bet 0.
Yes.
We figured.
So, all right, so what's our final score?
Champions always bet 0, even when we get the answer right.
So we ended up with 115.
So it was 160 to 115.
All right.
So once again, Chris reigns victorious in the team battles.
Chris is victorious. How about that?
Actually, I am undefeated in team battles. That's the interesting part.
You are, aren't you?
So when you play with other people, you win.
That's right. Well, I honestly,
but he loses when he plays with himself.
Someone else is new. But I do better when I bounce off ideas with people. I mean, I think that's one of the things that
you
we
said
do
that.
Fairly well. Yeah, I've said that in the past, so I'll just shut up then.
No, I agree with you. You live that out.
Yeah.
Totally true.
Man, that was good stuff, though. Great job. And then Uncle Chip is a winner on the Trivial Warfare. And Carmella is a winner on the Trivial Warfare. So you know what that means? The times that it was gone, the weakest link was Kel. You heard me, Mr. Sowers. We're calling you out. You better come back on.
Wow.
Sorry, Kel.
All right.
Poor Kel.
Speaking of Kel, Kel's a warhead.
He is a warhead.
Our warhead of the week this week is not Kel, though. Our warhead of the week this week is Bob Schlepsky.
Hey, Bob. Thanks so much.
Bob wrote in when he joined, and he said that the show is very addicting.
Oh.
You know, I got to tell you, that's a good sign. When people think what you're doing is addicting, that means they want more.
Where's Bob from, Jonathan?
I don't know. Where is Bob from?
Well, he wrote you.
Yeah, I don't know where he emailed me. That's different.
Well,
he didn't include his address on his email.
Okay,
Bob, from what's the matter you?
He's from yahoo.com.
There you go. It's a very expansive country.
Well, you know, I admit, I think...
Population's huge.
Your show's addictive to me, too. I mean, every Monday when it shows up, I look forward to it.
There you go.
And
it's like a new present every week.
And my wife and I generally listen to it together.
Aw.
She does pretty well. I have to give her credit.
I bet.
She knows her trivia.
Smart lady.
Well, I was going to say, we know
she
the smart
you.
One. Oh, wow. Nice. Sometimes Jonathan can be sweet.
All right. And we had a review since the last show.
Wonderful.
So this review is from Robbie D50.
Thank you, Robbie D.
Do you think D50 is like a dice reference?
I was going to say I thought D50 was the original name for the B-52s. That's not very funny.
Anyway,
but that is.
If you want to send in the backing of your name, we'd love to hear it.
So Robbie said, Jonathan and Chris are a fun couple of guys who took what they love to do to the podcasting community and made it fun for all. I love their constant film references and their obsession with Star Wars. If you like trivia and you like podcasts, you've come to the right place.
Man, he probably really liked the last episode that was just aired.
Yeah, really.
Man, we went all Star Wars up. And I promise you, we will be talking more Star Wars once the new movie comes out, whether Jonathan wants to or not.
That's why I wore my Stormtrooper shirt.
Actually, and better yet, I'm going to air some stuff out here. I actually mentioned to Jonathan that we should do an all Star Wars episode, and he said he didn't think that we had...
I said no.
Okay, well,
that's what I said specifically.
Okay. He said no, but it was because he didn't think we'd have enough interest in it.
That's not what I said.
Okay, well, tell everybody what you said.
I said no because Star Wars is already so specific that you would have to get into real minutiae to have a trivia show about it, and I don't think that would be entertaining.
Okay.
And so it had nothing to do with what anybody else thought.
And that's a fair point. However, I disagree with you completely. So if you agree with me, please email Jonathan at trivialwarfare@gmail.com.
If we get 200 people say they want a Star Wars show,
be realistic.
What's not realistic about that? Our shows get 800 to 900 downloads a show right now.
But nobody emails you.
That's 1/4.
Email him, please. Come on, let's get this done.
I'll tell you, if you get 100, if 100 people, if 1/8 of the audience says they want a Star Wars show, then we'll give them a Star Wars show.
We got two right here. They want one.
They're stars.
I'm 3.
Okay.
And I'm part of the show.
Go find 97 friends.
I will.
Do I actually have to email you?
Yes.
Oh
come on. They're right here. Verbally, she's committed.
Okay, so if they don't want to email, if you will have them drive to my house, knock on my door, and say I want a Star Wars show, I will count it.
Wait, you don't want all those people showing up at your door, man.
I'm not going to let them in.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
I'm just going to say, who is it? And they can say, I want a Star Wars show. And I'll say, okay, I'll count you. And get out.
Okay. Any other new business?
Yeah, we'll just want to remind people that we're doing the Trivial Warfare Army Facebook group. So you can search for Trivial Warfare Army on Facebook and interact with us and our other listeners. Have a good time. Get a daily trivia question. A lot of fun. People are enjoying that so far.
Yep.
Actually, there's several daily trivia questions because people throw their own out there.
Like I love crazy. That, too. Yeah. I love that mine isn't the only one.
Yeah, exactly right. And I'm still blown away by the amount of hip-hop that Corey Douglas knows. So
claims to know.
Claims to know.
He might be looking it up.
Touche.
Touche. All right, Chris, get us out of here.
All right. Well, again, Mark, Carmella, Uncle Chip, Jonathan, great job as always, guys. It was a fun episode to record. And Carmella, great job on the questions.
Thank you.
So until the next time that everybody is on board, I'm Chris. That's Jonathan. That's Mark. That's Carmella. That's Chip. And we are Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia. It's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Email warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Thanks.
Bye.
So I went to the kitchen this morning and tried to get something to eat, and I found out the dog pooped in the refrigerator.
Hey, are you serious?
How is that possible?
I didn't even think he could reach the handles.
Are you being serious, or is this just coming out of your backside?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that would have been awesome.